Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did Deion exercise today?
I think he was tired today, was what I heard. It's okay. You're dealing with an illness, you know, in some way, shape, or form. There's laws against that, and there's laws about it. I think illness covers it. I mean, I'm not being evasive, but I kind of am. Yeah. And for a right reason.
If it was that ill, why would you let him back in the building?
They're not worried about that part right now. I'm not the doctor here. All right. Yeah. I mean, I wish I could be, but I don't know. They won't let me do that. Practice. I'll get in trouble. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently so.
It's a hell of an illness. That is our man Foxy.
And our man Brad Biggs quizzing him.
And our man Biggsy giving him the business.
Didn't the Bears have a Dr. Fox back in the day?
They called him Needles.
Yeah.
He was the guy that gave you the injection so you could play. It's Mully and Hanley on the score. We've got Joe Fortenbaugh, our man in Vegas, who's actually out of San Francisco. It's a complicated story, but you're our man in Vegas.
Witness protection does get a little complicated.
Joe is, yeah. We won't reveal that you're that Joe Fortenbaugh. But Joe is kind enough to come in. He's in town. We've got a big event planned for tomorrow, right? Why don't you give us some more details? Where are we going, Joe?
College Football Watch Party. I figure for 7 years now,
yeah,
I've been coming on with you guys. Seven years.
That's hard to believe.
Since Big Z introduced me to you guys, it was my first year in Vegas. And as a result of coming on the show, between Twitter and every other way you can connect with people now, so many fans in Chicago of this radio show have reached out to me. I've been talking to so many for years. I figure if I'm in town, let's finally get together. Let's put faces to names. So the 50-50 tomorrow, starting at 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., College Football Watch Party. I've specifically tailored some of the wagering opportunities around that window so we can all root against my picks together, because this year these picks have been absolutely brutal.
We're going to fade you?
Yeah, well, I mean, in San Francisco, we've been calling it fading ball this year. Fade ball. Because the picks have just been tough.
So this is a mush party.
Yeah, we can go to mush party. Yeah, that's a good way to go about it. But the first 2 years I was in San Francisco, the picks were great. And we've had a lot of success on the show. This year it's been a struggle. But tomorrow, beers, wings, having a good time. The 50-50 from 11 to 3. The Big Puma, I believe, will be making an appearance as well. I'm supposed to see him today. But what kind of executive schedules a meeting at 12:30 on a Friday? Not a very high executive. I want to make that very clear.
What time should an executive schedule a meeting?
The deck should be cleared on Friday. Once you get past noon, it should be liquid lunch and on to the weekend.
That's
wow,
nice.
Can't wait to work in your office. By the way, the 50-50 2047 West Division, it's just east of Damon. You can't miss it. It's a terrific place. Great food, great drink. Huge. We have lots of TVs to watch all the games that we're fading Joe on. So what time we're going to roll in there? About 11 or so, did
11
you say?
O'clock,
figure
yeah.
Kickoff around 11. I'm going to get there a little bit earlier, get set up. It's always, if you're wagering on games, you've always need that window of about 10 to 15 minutes to just get calm before a game. Like NFL Sunday is so hectic. I don't settle down until the start of the second quarter, to be honest with you.
And there was some talk of dice, I believe, last week.
There might be an illicit dice game in some back room. I haven't figured out whether or not there will be space.
That is not true.
Bring your bail bonds card.
Yeah, bring a stack of ones.
Bring the bunco
bring
squad.
A stack of ones.
Where are we going again?
Gentlemen's Club?
What? Kevbo is definitely going, right? Kevin's going. Brian, I'll be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Dustin, I think. What's his coaching schedule? We'll have to find out. He ducked out immediately. Is Ray coming? Have you talked to him?
Should I invite Ray?
Of course.
I'll be up at 6:30 watching the soccer game, so I'm going to have an early start even on you guys.
Yeah.
So
you should be half in the bag by that point.
At least.
Well, especially if the results go the right way, huh? He's got a big game tomorrow. His North London Derby is tomorrow morning, so he is
6:30?
Very pumped up.
6:30 a.m., that's right.
So everybody...
Joe, soccer guy?
It feels like every radio station has at least one. We've got one on my show. I'm into it when the big events come around, but I'm not going to pretend as if I can give you any sort of analysis.
They've got a podcast.
We have a podcast, Kevin and I.
Really?
Yeah, of just the soccer. Dustin made us do it because we would sit in the studio and just talk about this stuff, and so we took it to the air.
Dustin didn't want to hear it anymore, so he's like, get the hell out of here and record it. Get it away from me.
I believe the exact quote was, this is almost interesting. You make this stuff almost interesting. Something like that.
That was the name of the show.
Yeah, almost interesting. We're the screamers and howlers, soccer terms. Hey, by the way, today, of course, is Friday, so it's the end of the week. This has been a special week for us because we've been giving away a series of three-night trips for two to the beautiful Grand Bahia Principe in Punta Cana. It's in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, and we'll be giving away the last one today. Joe, the way we have it set up is that someone has to identify the voice of one of our guests, and I believe it was Joe yesterday or the day
Tuesday?
Before?
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Someone identified your voice.
Yesterday?
And someone identified your voice, and then
the guy Jeff in West Chicago,
he recognized
Joe.
You and won himself a trip to beautiful Dominican Republic, Punta Cana, and thanks to Apple Vacations for that. And today will be your last chance to win. So listen carefully, and if you're a listener to the show, you will hear someone's dulcet tones, and you'll know who it is if you listen regularly, and you'll win yourself that trip, a three-night stay for two.
You'd be caller six to the contest line when you hear our guest 10-second clip from one of our regular guests. Caller six, 312-591-6700. Again, thanks to Apple Vacations. What a generous token of our appreciation they were allowing us to give back to you for joining us each and every day. So thanks to Apple Vacations.
And we should say that we got to get back to what John Fox was talking about there. Oftentimes with football coaches, and Fox is an all-time football coach, is one of these guys who everything, it's, you know, Secret Squirrel might be dating Maronko Mull, but, you know, we're all going to be quiet about it and don't say anything. It's just this sort of bizarre, you know, international intrigue every time a guy's behind the podium asked about an injury, asked about an illness in this case with Deion Sims. And it's just this kind of cloak and dagger stuff that you have come to expect from NFL coaches. Having said that, I think Foxy is one of these guys. He goes really overboard. He's saying that it's illegal for him to tell you anything about it, which I'm pretty sure the HIPAA laws do not apply to football coaches. I understand that the people that are helping him or whatever, but he wants to say illness. He wants to leave it at that. It must be a very serious illness if someone has been knocked down since the bye week. And
well, that's why when Biggsy's
it's 2 weeks in, right?
You know, you see him in the building. Biggsy's like, well, if he's that sick, why is he here?
It's a legitimate question.
Yeah,
you know, apparently it's nothing that you can catch, right? I mean, is that fair enough? It's not a virus of some sort. It's not airborne.
He started to go. Fox started to go down there talking about, it, and then he caught himself. I'm not the doctor. I'd like to practice, but they won't let me practice.
And I don't know why we're fascinated by it. Maybe because the guy won't answer a question.
Exactly, and that's the reason. If you got out in front of this, what do they always say? The conspiracy is worse than the actual crime.
The cover up. Yeah,
exactly. This is a scenario where Fox himself is creating all the intrigue around it. That interaction between he and Biggs, it's hilarious, especially if you read
it. Very funny.
If you read the transcript of it, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it really is.
You listen to it, you get a laugh. That's supposed to be just a casual point of business. What's wrong with Deion? Answer, everybody moves on. But this is now turned into a story because of the response. It's a humorous story at that, and it detracts from some of the other issues that are going on over at House Hall at the moment. But when you choose – Belichick is the one that figured out how to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
He's always consistent with the media, and as a result, you're used to what you get from him.
And now they don't even ask Belichick questions. They know they won't – we're on to Cincinnati.
Nick Saban's fantastic with it at Alabama now, by the way. He's taken a page out of Belichick's playbook. Obviously, they both work together in Cleveland. He's become fascinating when it comes to his interviews as well.
I think it's interesting with Belichick. He does this chalkboard segment on the team's website, which is absolutely brilliant. And when he does it, and when you see it, you just like you can learn football from him. Just, yeah, well, we got to go over here. He does his whole routine. But that guy... And I think what's interesting about Belichick, if you ask him a question that he's interested in answering, he gives you an unbelievable answer. It just doesn't. It happens maybe three times a year,
right?
Where Belichick will He'll say engage something you, yeah. that is just absolutely fantastic. Where he will actually not just engage, but kind of he'll go into some football detail thing, and it just be like it's just fascinating. Like this is the same guy that can't answer anything, or is, you know, the master of the one word answer. When he wants to talk, that guy is a very interesting guy.
What's the common theme? He loves talking football.
Exactly.
Now, coming off a loss against the Chiefs on Monday night, if you want to ask him if Jimmy Garoppolo is taking over for Tom Brady, he considers that unworthy of his time, as many coaches would and should, based on the given circumstances, excuse me. But if you actually fire a question to him, I remember covering the Super Bowl in Indianapolis between the Patriots and the Giants.
Yeah.
He got up for his introductory presser, I think it was Sunday or Monday when the team arrived, and someone fired off a question about Vince Wilfork. And he went on for 5-6 minutes.
Yeah, we were there for that.
It
was true. Yeah, that was a great football answer. Yep. If you want to talk to him about football, he's more than willing. If you want to ask him about the nonsense and the pageantry, he's not interested in any of the hot take storylines. It's just not worth his time.
No thoughts on smashed cell phones.
He was asked a question about it was some obscure rule of the ball going out of the back of the end zone. I forget what it was, but it was like what happened this week with the challenge, and he gave like one of the best answers I've ever heard about how preparation is reading the rule book, how they sit their players down and they go over every obscure rule so their special teams understand what they really have it down, how to coach a team. And apparently the guys that are challenging are coached up as well.
This segment of our show brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, we're going to take a moment here and reorganize, and then we'll talk to the prediction machine. I believe Paul Basir is back as the general manager of the prediction machine. We'll bring him in and we'll go over some games and we'll find out how the computer does and what the uniformity of opinion the computer has reached. I don't know if you care about that sort of thing, but it helps. All the information we can get. And then Joe will tell us if it's correct or not later. Molly and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I heard that scumbag Paul Basir was on earlier talking trash about the Houston Cougars. So I'm going to go ahead and put an end to that right now. Paul doesn't know how good that Houston team's good been.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Well, that's a fine welcome back to Paul Basir. Our guy Joe Fortenbaugh taking a gratuitous shot a few years. That was years ago. And Joe happens to be in studio with us today, Paul. So great to talk to you. Paul, of course, the general manager of PredictionMachine.com. And Paul, say hello to Joe. He's delighted to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Joe and I go way back. I didn't know that he once said that about me on air, but I'm glad to be back. General manager and chief scumbag here.
Yeah. And you know, the beautiful thing is we keep those things, Paul. You know, that's
I had no idea that was ever said. What's up, Joe?
Paul, do not believe the fake news coming out of this program.
Wow.
That was dubbed. I don't remember ever saying that. It's good to talk to you, man, though. Welcome back to Prediction Machine. A lot of people are excited about it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, Rob did a great job, but Rob is moving on, and they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So, of course, I'm going to be back to talk to you guys.
And Joe, by the way, that we would never doctor one of his cuts.
No.
You just lack the courage to stand by your computer.
That was all Joe. Absolutely.
Exactly. That's the guy. You know him. Yeah.
All righty, Paul. Well, so let's start with the college stuff. Obviously, here in Chicago, the Wisconsin-Michigan game is one everybody has an eye on and is very interested in, and certainly it has ramifications in terms of the Final Four and whether Wisconsin can stay undefeated and there could be a surprise party at the Big House. It's a tough game going in there.
It is, and tough, I think, is probably the appropriate term there, because there's the total, the over-under on this game is 40, and yet I still kind of like the under. It's not a really strong opinion, but that's how ugly and brutal and defensive-oriented this game is going to be. It's number 9 versus 18, actually, in our power rankings, Wisconsin being number 9. Wisconsin wins 23-15, the spread's about 7.5 or 8. So I don't really have a strong opinion for you there, but the Badgers have the number 1 pass defense in all of college football, and they've got a quarterback who turns the ball over at almost the highest rate of anybody in Power 5. And then you've got Michigan, who's got a very good pass defense and doesn't really have its quarterback situation figured out. So the best game of the weekend in my return back to predicting football games is one of the ugliest ones that we will see all year that matters. 23-15, though, Wisconsin wins that game.
You have Notre Dame heading home and hosting Navy, or as Lou Holtz said, the University of Navy. And you also have Miami, and they're both about the same spread, right?
Yep.
17, 18, right in there. They have Virginia at home. I guess Miami never has to play on the road. Is that a letdown spot for the Hurricanes? And how does Notre Dame, can they bounce back and start rolling at home again?
I think the number's right for Miami, so I don't necessarily think it's a letdown spot. 33-14 is our predicted score. It's about an 18.5, 19-point spread, so I like the number. I think that's appropriate. It's number 7 versus 55 in the country. Virginia looked pretty good early, right off the bat, but not a team that I necessarily have a lot of confidence in. I do like the under a little bit in that game, so if it's a letdown at all, maybe the offense doesn't put up big numbers, but it hasn't really all year. Notre Dame, I think, is a little bit more interesting, because very rarely am I looking to lay, less than right around 3 touchdowns. But I think this works because Navy has no defense this year. They're 112th in our rankings in run defense and 98th in pass defense. And they have a quarterback situation they haven't figured out. Zach Ebby not likely to play. We'll see what happens. I think Notre Dame, this is kind of a bounce back, if anything, if you want to play the narrative, where they come in, they win easy, they put up some big numbers, and they look good. 45-23 is our predicted score. Notre Dame wins, covers the spread, and the over, which is sitting just less than 60 points right now, is actually one of our stronger plays of the weekend.
Paul, general handicapping question for you. This time of year, a lot of teams sitting on, say, 5 wins, 1 or 2 games to play, looking to get bowl eligible. How much does that factor into the capping?
A little bit. It doesn't necessarily play a ton of role in the numbers and the projections that we're looking at. We try to assume that every team is trying its hardest to win. We, to your point, we have absolutely seen in college football that the teams that are out of it as you go further and further into the season, and out of it either means teams that had playoff aspirations that now don't have 2 or more losses, or teams that are or that have no chance at bowl eligibility, that they do tend to fall off probably about week 8, week 9, etc. And so right around this time of year, you can see it's more so the other side of that coin. It's the teams that aren't really playing for much tend to start to look to the future. And you can see that sometimes in their numbers. So I like to look for spots where there is a team that is in it, that is playing against a team that isn't, in terms of expectations. And you might be able to get a little bit more of an advantage there.
Paul, people in Chicago are firing John Fox. It just was bound to happen with the loss to the Packers and the Bears favorite for the first time. But here they got a bounce-back game. The Lions are not all that, but neither are the Bears.
Yeah, well, I actually like the Bears as having a really good chance to win this game. We do like them to cover the spread. 21-20 Detroit's technically the predicted score that we have for this game, but that allows the Bears to win, and it's something close to a coin flip in the numbers. It's hard to make the case to bet on a team by comparing them to the Cleveland Browns, but I think I'm about to do it because the Browns should have won last week. They failed to score in the final minute, within the red zone in the final minute of both halves, and outgained and outperformed Detroit throughout the game, aside from a couple turnovers and some poorly timed and poorly executed red zone drives. But the Bears have a young mobile quarterback, a good offensive line, a deep, fast, and athletic pass rush, and are a run-heavy team with a stable of good running backs. Yeah, that's similar to Cleveland. It just so happens the Bears are that, but better, pretty much across the board. And they've played the number one strength of schedule so far this season and essentially been in every game, obviously, except for one against Aaron Rodgers. So I like the Bears. I think they're better than the record, and I think that they could make some noise the rest of the season. May not be all that relevant, but in this case, I think they got a good chance to win.
NFC East showdown on Sunday night. It's Philadelphia off the bye at Dallas against the Ezekiel Elliott-less Cowboys. How do you see Big D's chances here against the juggernaut that is Carson Wentz?
Yeah, and it's not just Carson Wentz. I mean, Philadelphia's team across the board is our number one team in the power rankings. Not across the board, number one team in power rankings, but overall is number one team in the power rankings. And Wentz is a big piece of that, but he fits the puzzle very well. Doug Peterson, like Andy Reid, very good off of a bye, and expected to be so. And this is chalky. I mean, almost 90% of the public is betting on the Eagles, or at least was when the line was at 3, to win and cover the spread in Dallas. We actually agree with the chalk and the public who thinks this should be a win for Philadelphia, in part because of Ezekiel Elliott, but I'm going to sit here and focus a little bit more so on Tyron Smith and Sean Lee. And you saw the impact that Tyron Smith's absence had last week with Adrian Claiborne getting 6 sacks. He's out again this week. Sean Lee, the most valuable player from that defense year in and year out. Jaden Smith's having a good year, but Sean Lee's the critical piece to that team. He's now out for the year. So the exponential compounding factor of Zeke, Tyron, and Sean all missing this game leads to an easy, at least by the standards of a Sunday night football game with the road team winning, easy victory for Philadelphia. 24-20 is the predicted score.
We've got to ask you your strongest play the weekend and also the Paul Basir directional score of the week.
I'll give you this. The answer to that is actually the same answer to both those questions. So I'll give you an NFL one and a college football one. The NFL one, this has never happened literally in the 157 weeks of Prediction Machine, and I did not make that number up. It's been 157 weeks. We have New England as the strongest opinion to cover the spread that has never been before for us. And I think part of it's because they're playing in Mexico City and the public just hasn't responded yet to the fact that it's a neutral field game, just assuming that Oakland coming out of the bye is playing at home, because they're listed as the team that's on the bottom of the list in the schedule. But we like New England to win easy. I don't think Oakland's very good. New England's defense has been very good for the last 4 weeks after being terrible for 4 weeks previous to that. So 32-23, New England wins. That's their strongest NFL game of the week. But the strongest overall game of the week, New Mexico State as a 4-point favorite going into Louisiana Lafayette to play the Raging Cajuns. I love the Aggies. That's New Mexico State. I was looking at this. Tyler Rogers is the quarterback, and Larry Rose the third, the running back. They had 2 starting seasons when I was doing this in 2014 and 2015. They're the most experienced quarterback and running back combination of all college football, and they're going up against the 4th-string quarterback for Louisiana Lafayette. Back in 2011, I gave you guys New Mexico State as a 3-point underdog as the first of these directional school lock of the week, and they won by 44 points. Here, I don't think it's going to quite be that, but I remember that distinctly because I remember you guys were in Vegas that week for a fight.
Yeah, that's right. We pounded it.
I remember that distinctly. I think that was the first one. So it's just a fluke. It happens to be in New Mexico State again. But in this case, 39-28, a 4-point favorite, wins by 11 in our projection.
Great, Paul. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Enjoyed it. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Paul.
That's our Thanks, Joe. Dustin, there for you, huh?
Yeah.
That's great. That's your friend.
Starting to rethink my fee for today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're going to want. He's going to want a pound of flesh, Dustin.
We really haven't had a Houston this year, right, Joe? I mean, there hasn't been that team.
You were a first-half Baylor guy,
magic.
Too, right?
Yeah.
You always had those first-half Baylor
games. First half of those Baylor games, and then a year's worth of Houston before everyone caught on. And Herman continued to cover the following year. He's 14-1 against the spread as an underdog in his career. Tom Herman, he's an underdog this week again in the Big 12.
Joe, I was in Vegas one time without the show, and I talked to Joe, and he gave me some team, and I don't even remember. I had played this team, and I sat there, and I thought, you know, I don't know the team name. I don't know.
I've been there.
I don't know the school. I don't know exactly where it's located. I don't know the conference they play in. I don't know the style of their team. I couldn't name a single player, and I didn't know the coach. And I cashed on that one, and it was like, it was the greatest feeling ever. It was just like...
Yeah, we were there for the tournament. We were betting Columbia. He's giving us Ivy League schools. I mean, it's like Columbia. Okay, sure.
Whatever works.
I've had women's doubles tennis bets in Uzbekistan where you just wake up and check the account, and it's like, it's a winner.
Wow.
No idea the results. No idea who's even involved. Yeah. You get a tip, and you're riding.
We went to Wild Bill's because we were close by, and it was close to tip-off. We'd never been in the place before, and we had to pound the thing, and we had to take the cab to the airport. We had to stop there the next morning to cash the ticket
That's right.
while they were still cleaning up all the stuff in the casino.
Those are the best stories. Yeah. Those are the best ones. Yeah. I noticed that.
Scoreboard update.
You notice we don't tell any bad ones? Is that it?
I noticed that you guys.
We only win.
Yeah. You guys bring on a lot of guys
to give
out picks.
Radio shows.
Under the guise that you want it for the listeners, and then I just see everyone furiously scribbling down all these picks and then making illicit phone calls out in the hallway. It's fantastic.
That is so not true.
We only hear about it when Fortenbaugh messes up Dustin's parlay.
Yeah.
His
10-team parlay.
By the way,
it's always this close.
I come in here at 3:15 this morning. First guy I see, he goes, hit 9 of 10 last week, lost on Notre Dame. And I was like, how do you open the relationship like that?
Right.
I haven't seen you face to face in 4 years.
You
open with that.
Yeah. And I love the fact it was unsaid that you touted him on Notre Dame.
Right. It was just like an icy stare with the, I hit 9 out of 10.
Yeah, good to see you too.
You know,
why
Notre
weren't
Dame.
You perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me in. I appreciate it.
Irish almost covered. That's close.
Oh, my God. That game was bad.
On
really
John Fox's
bad.
Card, he cashed. Is there a close?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I think so. You know, I think, I joke with our trainer sometimes. He goes, well, he feels pretty good. I said, yeah, he's been out for 2 weeks. He ought to feel good. All right. So I think, I think that helps, rest. You had the bye week, and then, really we didn't use him extensively last week against Green Bay. So I think he does feel better, and he looked good in practice.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's that man called Foxy. That is John Fox talking about Kyle Long's return to the starting lineup. And if you think about it, Kyle Long obviously played one play last week.
That's not extensively.
No, he was an emergency guy that they had to have because they didn't want to bring anyone up off the practice squad. They were running out of offensive linemen. Now he returns to the starting lineup. The strength of this team on offense is the interior line. You've got a guy with Cody Whitehair playing out of position last week. You have Josh Sitton, who played center in that New Orleans game when both Whitehair and Long were out. And if you remember that game, the Bears had a key 3rd and 2, 4th and 2, and couldn't get anything done because they were afraid to run the ball. So you got the young quarterback throwing out of that in that game when you couldn't understand why they wouldn't just pick up a first down when they're in 3rd and 2. Why don't you run the ball? Why don't you pick up a first down? Well, we're now in 4th and 2, so we got a third. No, why didn't you do it on 3rd or 4th? Well, we didn't have an interior to our line.
Wasn't it 3rd and 1, 4th and 1?
3rd and 1, whatever, yeah. 4th and 1. That's right.
Even more damning, you can't pick up a yard.
No, and but last week, it's tough for Whitehair to keep jumping in and out of the center position, and I think it's tough on everyone. And Hronis Grasu, The backup center, former what round was
third
he drafted?
Round.
Was he a third round pick?
Third round pick.
Can't stand up at the line of scrimmage, man. He cannot hold a block. He's overwhelmed often. You see what he looks like when he's pass protecting. I mean, this is a guy, when he first came in and he first started playing, you thought, wow, Oregon, don't they have a weight room there? I mean, there's no weight room that you could go into
Nike,
and get stronger.
Nike spends money on weights.
They have an unbelievable weight room. And now here he is with the professional
team. When the entire line jumped because you couldn't remember the snap count, too, it's a little bit difficult.
Oh, that's
difficult.
A bad optic. Yeah. Yeah.
When everyone's over.
The best is when you turn around then and you kind of hold your hands up.
Was that on two or three? I forgot.
Why did all you guys jump? But anyway, I think that it will help to get Kyle Long back. It will help to get, hopefully, their running game, that interior, monster truck running game, whatever you want to call it, when you see Jordan Howard running over people in the interior of the field, that's what hopefully will be back and will work against Detroit. We know that quarterback development is what it's all about, and John Fox saying after the game that Mitchell Trubisky had his best game, and then Trubisky admitting, some of those sacks are on me. 5 sacks the kid took. There was, again, 1, 2, 3, the ball's got to be released. They say it's 2.5 to 3 seconds. You get over 3 seconds, you get pressure. It's just a fact of life in the NFL. And one of those sacks, I think it was 7, a nice old 7 count while the kid then gets sacked and goes down with the ball. Good God, man, throw the ball. You got to get rid of the ball. And there were guys flashing by. So there were some players. It's not like there was no one open. I know we spend a lot of time talking about how the receivers can't get open. And I don't think that's entirely the problem. I think that they have coached this guy to not turn the ball over. It's a big part of their game plan. And I don't know exactly why, but obviously this week everybody wanted to fire Fox. And as the week went on, it was almost like people realized, hey, Dow Logans is still here. And what did the guy call in and call him? Dial up a no gain?
Yeah, dial up no gains.
Dial no yeah.
It's amazing, because no I've been listening to you guys all week and prep for coming in, and it's amazing how living 2,500 miles away, covering a team in the AFC and the Raiders, the similar conversations we're having on air. Because right now, the conversation centers around offensive coordinator Todd Downing and whether or not he's the problem, whether it's Del Rio, who's got to go at the end of the year. Del Rio gets the four-year extension last February, so it's going to be tough to part ways for an owner who doesn't like to spend a lot of money. So we've been diving through a lot of the Carr situation, trying to figure out how you improve the team. And there are a lot of similarities to what you have here in Chicago with Mitchell Trubisky.
A defensive-minded coach with a coordinator that has a big responsibility, half the team probably, and might be a little in over his head. That's what we're looking at.
Consistency is going to be the number one thing for a young quarterback. They're like babies. They're like children. Think about it like that. Is it going to behoove you as a parent to have your kid waking up at a different hour every morning, putting him in a different school every day with different friends and different teachers? No, there's no semblance of being able to acclimate to anything if it's going to be that inconsistent of a life. You want to do the same thing at the quarterback position, consistency. So going back and looking at every quarterback who's won the Super Bowl since the last time the Raiders were there during the 2002 season, there have been 14 Super Bowls won by 8 different quarterbacks. They all have the same thing in common. Tom Brady's played 18 years in the league. He's only had 4 play callers. Aaron Rodgers has been in the league 13 years. Mike McCarthy has called the plays for every game except 13. You look at the situation in New Orleans with Drew Brees. 2 guys, Carmichael and Marone, were his coordinators the entire time he's been there. This applies to everybody. Russell Wilson has had the same coordinator for 6 years. And what you realize is the one guy on the list, the one quarterback on the list between the Manning brothers, Roethlisberger, all these guys that has struggled is Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is the one that has fallen off a cliff. First 5 years in the league.
Matt Kavanaugh, right?
Cam Cameron.
Oh, Cam
First
Cameron.
5 years, Indiana. Cam Cameron, year 5, you won a Super Bowl. Yep. After that, it's been 4 coordinators in 5 years, and he's got a record, I believe, of 35-38 during the regular season.
Does Mark Trestman count?
he's one of the guys.
Yeah, I know.
But he's one of the guys.
Kavanaugh was the quarterback's coach that year. I remember talking to him at the Super Bowl.
Point being, if the Raiders decide to can Downing, Derek Carr at $125 million is going to get his 4th offensive coordinator in 5 years. That's not how you develop the position. Same thing has to be the thought process here with the Bears. Maybe you end up making a change at the end of the season, but you've got to have a long-term vision for a number 2 overall pick at quarterback that you can't be shuffling play callers in and out every 1, 2, 3 years. History shows us it does not work.
But here's part of the problem as well. Part of the problem is when you're picking your next coach, right? Are you picking an offensive-minded coach with the idea that he'll have the same person there that can be the voice in his head? Or if you go with another defensive-minded coach, now you got the Adam Gase situation where you bring in a guy with Jay Cutler who gets probably as good a year out of Jay Cutler as we've seen, and that helps him get himself the job in Miami. But now you're without a coordinator, so you're promoting Dow Logans to try to keep the same continuity with Cutler, and then you get rid of Cutler, and now you're bringing in a new guy, and now you're going to get rid of this guy. So I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but I think everybody dismisses the value of what you're talking about, which is continuity.
And how many of those teams had offensive-minded head coaches? You know, you talk about Drew Brees, well, you got Sean Payton. I mean, you know, certainly Baltimore was more of a defensive-oriented team, and everyone wondered, well, you know, you're paying Joe Flacco
but
how
that
much?
But that was Brian Billick, right? And he's an offensive guy.
Right.
He was an offensive coordinator.
So
he ran
ultimately,
the ball.
Who is the play caller, right? You obviously have an OC, you have a quarterback's coach, but really, you know, Sean Payton's talking to Drew Brees 24 hours a day.
That was Harbaugh, though, that...
Correct.
Yeah,
right.
So he's a special teams guy. That's interesting.
Peyton Manning, for example, had Tom Moore calling the plays for the first 12 years of his career.
Right.
It's the consistency. There's a third option in the hiring process that you just laid out. Do you go with an offensive mind like a Kyle Shanahan or a Sean McVay? Young offensive minds who also call the plays, a la Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, Sean Payton to an extent in New Orleans. That has proven to work. Do you go with the defensive mind and the coordinator? The problem there, like you're saying, is he gets cherry-picked and ends up being a head coach somewhere. Or option 3, you bring in a bright offensive-minded offensive coordinator who doesn't plan on leaving or taking a higher job. Gary Kubiak.
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak wants back in. Atlanta and Oakland look to be the two spots that would be the best fit. He can develop quarterbacks, and he's not looking to get back in the head role. He doesn't want the responsibilities.
But here, you know, isn't he John Fox the second, although the offensive John Fox, right? A guy at the end of his career had some health issues. You know, I'm not saying he still can't do it at a high level, but is that a tough sell when Sean McVay is the flavor of the season, the young, bright guy instead of the old retread?
It's going to be hard to sell Kubiak on the offensive coordinator role if Atlanta comes after him because there's already so much talent there, or if Oakland would come after him because there's already so much talent there. But there'd be an opportunity to develop a young quarterback. I also think you need to consider in the offseason, when you're talking about playmakers and weapons, bringing in a guy possibly like a Larry Fitzgerald. He's going to be a free agent. I understand he's on the downside of his career, but think about what that mentorship could be like for a young quarterback in Trubisky. Fitzgerald knows every trick in the book. Long term, he's not going to be in your plans. But if you're talking about developing this kid into the best possible franchise quarterback you can get, you're going to need all the help you can get.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We're going to bring in our guy, Brad Biggs. Biggs time next. We'll run this by him. Mully and Hanley on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.